Well, in a moment, I'm going to have Matt and Jacob join me. Well, what a week, huh? Whether you were directly impacted, or maybe you were without power, or you had a loved one who did, or maybe I know some of you, it's like you know that your home's standing, but you can't get to it. There's all sorts of layers to what we've just experienced and what we're walking through together. And I want you to hear, if you've been either directly or indirectly impacted, that we're here for you, and even more that the Lord is here for you. Allison, I love you. We carry you in our hearts. I pray for you every single day. Allison prays for you every single day. And it's not just Allison and I. It's our entire pastoral team, Marvin, Ralph, Matt, Coley, many others that I could name. We love you. Our whole staff is here to serve you and do whatever we can do to help you, and we're grateful for you. In a moment, we're going to spend some time in God's Word around this theme of finding God in dark valleys. It comes from Psalm 23. But before we do, I wanted to give you some helpful information and updates around some resources. By the way, in your bulletin, there's teaching notes. Those were printed before we figured out that we were going to pivot. Those notes, I'll leave you guessing on them, and your homework is to go guess at those, and I'll preach that message in a future weekend. As I've already mentioned, we, as of this morning, have 27 families or individuals who are part of Christian Assembly who lost their homes. And again, if that's you, I want to express my condolence. I know that it's more than a building. It's a place of belonging. There's memories and emotions and I just want to say I'm sorry. The number could grow, as I've mentioned, as some who are evacuated are awaiting their home status. In James 2:15, we read that faith that doesn't show itself at some point in action is dead. In fact, it says, if a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So these resources are really our way of trying to put our faith and our love in action together to help you if you're somebody who's been impacted. Four different ways I want to highlight. First is this. If you've lost your home and this church is your church family, I want to encourage you and really tell you to email us at info@cachurch.com. That's the best way for us to systematically know who's lost their home, who's part of CA, right? Some of it obviously has been word of mouth, but we set that up so that you might be saying, like, nobody's got in touch with me. Well, email info@cachurch.com and, you know, tell them your name and leave them your cell phone and email and all that. And then also tell them, like, I lost my home, so that we then can put you on our list, and we're working through that list. So it's info@cachurch.com, and one of our pastoral team members will follow up with you, and we will get you benevolence funds to help you. If you're part of Christian Assembly and you lost your home, we're already in process doing that with those that we know that that has been the case. But if we don't know, then we can't help. So it's on you to email or have somebody email in and say, hey, they lost their home. They're part of Christian Assembly. That's the first thing. Second, so many of you know that we're already at work doing benevolence, doing relief, doing support, and you've been asking, how can you support the benevolence efforts? If you want to give to the benevolence efforts, you can just give to our general offering. We didn't, like, set up a separate fire fund or anything like that. The money that we are giving in benevolence comes from our general offering. That's where it's coming from. And so if you want to help support and give, would love for that to happen. I'm expecting at this point that we'll give at least $300,000 out in benevolence directly to people in our church family who have been impacted. One person said to me, well, what if I want to write a really large check? If you're going to write a check larger than $300,000, come talk to me and we'll set a fund up, you know, and we'll make it all work for you. but otherwise, we're just doing it, as we go. And so you can give through our general offering. That's the way that you can support our benevolence. And that's where the funds are coming from. Also, All week, I've had two conversations, and the two conversations went like this. There was one conversation where people were saying, I need help. And then the next conversation, number two, was, I have help that I can give to offer someone. So either I need help or I want to give help. Those were like the two conversations. So we created on our website, we've posted it already on social media, but on our website, you will find an LA Fires resource guide. And whether you need help or whether you're in a position to give help, that resource guide is for you. Now, let me explain what it is. You can find it on our website. You can find it on social media. It covers every possible way that we could think of to help you. So it covers things from prayer, like where do I go? How can I get prayer? To tangible items like my house burned down and I need clothes. It'll tell you how you can get clothes to, all right, my friend took me in for like a couple days, but they didn't commit to take me in for a year. So if you need temporary housing help, you can say, I need temporary housing help, right? And assistance and a lot more. If you're saying, look, I want to volunteer. I want to do something. I want to give some of my time. There's opportunities as you follow the links through for you to volunteer. If you're like, I have, you know, some type of good to donate, people who are like, you know, my company wants to donate whatever, water, food, whatever it is, there's links there to tell you, here's places that you can donate to help make that happen. If you need help, we have everything there. I mean, from FEMA, the list goes on, like where you can get food, where you can get shelter, where you can get clothing, where you can get, you know, pastoral care, all of that is there. So whether you need help or whether you can offer help, we want you to use that resource guide, right? Don't just like tell one of our pastors in the courtyard because they might not remember what you said or what your expertise is. So I want to encourage you in that. And there's all clickable links there for that. The fourth resource I want to tell you about is this Tuesday at 7 p.m. There's a special online opportunity. It's being put on by Pepperdine Law School. It's a free seminar, so it's pro bono, it's not going to cost you any money. And they're covering, these are the topics, FEMA applications and appeals, mortgage questions, insurance questions, and more. This will be super helpful for you if you lost your home. It'll also be super helpful for you if maybe you didn't lose your home, but you're helping a neighbor who did, or a family member who did, or a friend who did, because I know there's a million questions. And so if you go to the Christian Assembly Facebook page, or if you go to my personal Facebook page, Tom Hughes, you'll see that we put up the posts and you can click there, follow the posts through. And basically there's a link there where you put your name and email and all that stuff in for Pepperdine. And then they'll send you the Zoom link. It's going to be a Zoom seminar. So that's this Tuesday at 7 p.m. It's online. I encourage you to take advantage of that if that would serve you. And so with that, let's turn our hearts to God's word. Matt and Jacob, you can come on up. So God, now we turn our hearts to your word. And we ask that your word would strengthen us. We ask that your word would produce fruit in us. Faith comes from the hearing of your word. Lord, we love you. We need you. Thank you for your word. Speak. Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive what you want to say to us this weekend in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of the verses that has been my companion this week is from Psalm 23, verse 4, and this is what it says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me." They comfort me. Speaking of like the imagery of a shepherd, okay, you're my shepherd. You're carrying a rod and a staff to help protect me. And so Jacob, Matt, and I had a conversation earlier this week, really about kind of finding God in dark valleys or finding God in hard times. And so as we had that conversation, I just was like, man, I want to have this conversation again, but have it with our whole congregation. And so, Jacob, let me begin with you. I mean, what's one thing that God has put on your heart as you've been thinking and praying for the church this week? What's God put on your heart to share?
Well, let me just say it's good to be here with you. And there was a passage that kind of kept coming to mind, and it's from John chapter 11. And there's an incredible scene there where Mary is weeping, and it says that everyone around her was also weeping. And it's interesting because Jesus comes up onto that scene, and he does something pretty remarkable. What he doesn't do is says, "Why are you weeping?" But it says this in verse 33. It says, Jesus saw all of them, and it says his spirit was troubled, and he was deeply moved. And I wish the Bible would give us some more. What were you thinking? What were some of the words in your mind, Jesus, that you might have said to Mary and everyone in that space? Couple verses down, then it says this verse that many of us would know, "Our God wept." And the thought that I had was simply this. If you look farther down in that chapter, then Jesus says, "Now roll the stone away and Lazarus come forth." But before he did that, he took time, and I believe he chose to take time to be with Mary. And I'd like to imagine that he would take time to be with you and me in the midst of our tears, in the midst of our mourning, in the midst of our sense of loss today, that God would say, "My heart is troubled with you, and my tears join your tears today." What if that is the God that we sing to, we pray to, we cry out to today? And let me also be clear. Our God is a God of compassion and empathy, and he feels with us. But then there's the other side. Lord, then you are the resurrection and life. Will you bring beauty from ashes? Will you speak life into something that once was dead? We need both, Lord. And would you be that today? And so my thought simply today was this. Even in our tears and in our mourning, we're not alone. Our God is with us.
Amen. He is with us. And, you know, if you want a picture of God the Father, the picture is Jesus. You know, in the fullness of Jesus, the fullness of God dwells in him. He's God incarnate. And he gives us the picture, right, of really weeping with us, but also being able to bring beauty out of ashes and roll away the stone and call forth Lazarus. And we need both the compassion and the hope. Matt, we're talking about, there's just been a lot of talk about homes, obviously, this week. And even on the way in, people asking me how, you know, is my home doing? And I'm asking other people and all that. But we had a conversation as part of us talking about how God is a home for us. Share a little bit about what you had shared.
Yeah, well, and let me also just say how much I love you. So thankful for my CA family, so thankful that we're together right now. God places us, in fact, his word says, in family. And you are placed among this community of people. So thankful for that. As events were unfolding this week, and we were watching and hearing reports on Wednesday, and I was talking with people on the phone and hearing about just the devastation, and began to pray and began to seek the Lord for all that was happening. And Thursday morning, I woke up with this phrase, this statement that comes from Psalm 90 in my mind, and it became really my prayer and remains my prayer for us and for all those who are affected. In Psalm 90, it's a prayer of Moses, we're told. And he makes this remarkable statement, "Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home." Can you say amen to that? My prayer for us this week is that we would all find those words to be true. Home is where we settle down. Home is where we rest, where we're rejuvenated. But Moses is declaring that he's found all of that in the Lord, in knowing and trusting the Lord Lord, you have been our home, and we can make our home, whether we're displaced, whether we're evacuated, whether we have lost property, we can make our home in his presence and be renewed by his Spirit. And so wherever you find yourself, that's been my prayer, and I just want to encourage you to find your home in him. One of the ways that I believe we can do that is worship. Worship is a way we find our way home in God. And sometimes grief, crying out, wailing, weeping, is a form of worship. In fact, God's word tells us that he keeps track of all our sorrows and collects all of our tears. And so I want to encourage you to worship by crying out to God. Give your tears to God. One of the other ways that we can worship him is just to begin to whisper his name, Jesus. Jesus. And find your footing once again in what you believe. Find your footing in your faith and in the grace and truth of Jesus Christ. And so that's just something that has continued to inform my love for you, my faith in God, my prayers, my response to all of this is through all generations, Lord, you have been our home.
Yeah. Well, this week, the Psalms have been a real encouragement to me. If you're not familiar with the Bible and you have a paper Bible, just kind of pick the middle of it, and that's going to be the Psalms. But there's 150 of them, and the Psalms are actually a really important part, important part of my journey with the Lord. And if you've never read a Psalm, just buckle up, because there's stuff in there you're like, we're allowed to pray like that? Like, we're allowed to say that? We're allowed to do that? We're allowed to talk like that to God? And, you know, the theologians call it lament, that the Psalms teach us that our lament is real. And if you've come through loss, in fact, whether it's the loss of a home, or maybe your home is fine, but you've come through a season, a loss of a loved one, or some other type of loss that isn't even really connected to the fire, I just want you to hear that God's big enough to handle your true feelings. You don't have to hide them. You don't have to be plastic. Like, it's okay for you to say to God, God, here's really what I'm feeling. I'm angry. I'm disappointed. I'm confused. I don't understand. God, what are you doing? Where are you? Like, those are the types of prayers that are often prayed in the Psalms. And I really think the Psalms give us permission to just say to God what we really think and feel in prayer, that we can really bring him, that he's big enough for that. But if you read the Psalms, what you discover is that they're not only very raw and very real, and they include a lot of laments, but they're also very hopeful. You know, it makes me think, Jacob, that makes sense, right? Because we think about Jesus being compassionate and he wept, but he's also the God of resurrection. And the same God who is Jesus, who embodies God's word, was the Spirit who inspired the psalmist, who said, yeah, there's times when you're going to weep and wail, but there's also hope in the story as well. And both of those are found. In fact, if you look at the whole of the Psalms from chapter 1 to 150, the last three Psalms are all about hope. It's like the end of the story is all about hope. There's weeping and wailing in the midst of it, but every chapter you move increasingly towards the hope that is waiting. And that's really the story of our life with God. The closer we move through our life to when he calls us to our ultimate home, the closer we're moving to our final and ultimate hope when we see him face to face. In fact, I want to read to you maybe one of the most, it's probably the most famous psalm, Psalm 23. And just hear God's word and let it minister to you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let that just sink in. You lost a home. You have a loved one who did. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. That's what he does. This week, as I was with people who are grieving and so many challenges that so many are facing, man, I was praying like, God, I need you to restore my soul. Some people that I was talking to, they said, oh, I feel so much better after talking to you. I get off the phone, I'm like, I feel so much worse after talking to them. Like, but then I just went on a walk. I was like, Lord, I need you to restore my soul. Like, now I'm going to talk with you, God, and I'm going to walk away from my time of prayer being, I feel like so much better. And he's going to say, I'm big enough to handle it. And he bit by bit restores my soul as I come to him. He'll do that for you as well. It goes on and says, he leads me in right paths for his name's sake. And here's the verse that was with me all week. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. This has been a dark valley, hasn't it? Confusing, chaotic, hard to even know where you go to get answers. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, God never promises in his word that we won't go through dark valleys. What he promises is that he'll be with us. That he'll be with us. I was thinking about how God is with us in hard times, and obviously fire has been on all of our minds. And as I thought about it, I immediately thought of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you know that story, Nebuchadnezzar threatens to throw them into the fire, and they essentially say, look, our God can deliver us from the fire, but even if he doesn't, we're not gonna turn away from him. And they get thrown into the fire. And then they look, those outside the fire, they look and they say, didn't we throw three into the fire? Look, there's a fourth man in the fire. There's someone else with them in the fire. The Lord was with them in the midst of the fire. The Lord is with us in the midst of these fires. Sometimes he saves us from it. Sometimes he saves us in the midst of it when he's with us in the dark valley, in the furnace that we're in. Goes on, Psalm 23, and it says this in verse 5, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Now, David was often writing. He's the one who wrote the psalm. He's thinking probably about actual enemies that are coming to hurt him or kill him. And not many of us right now are facing people that are coming to try to do that, though maybe some of us are. But there's also a deeper sense, or a different sense maybe is a better word, of these enemies. There can be enemies like fear and anxiety and worry and despair. God prepares a table for us in the presence of our fear and worry and anxiety and despair. Some of you that I spoke with at Lost Homes are like, Tom, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, let alone how I'm going to navigate all this. God's going to prepare a table for you in the midst of your, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how to navigate all this. God's going to help you. He's going to be with you. He's going to walk with you. He's going to shepherd you. David goes on and finishes the psalm this way. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now, this is the same guy who was writing about going through dark valleys. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There again, we see God saying, I'm your home. I'm with you. I said, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. So the Psalms have been a real encouragement, a real teacher to me, God teaching me through the Psalms. I think of Psalm 46:1, it says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So Matt, let me start with you. It says, you know, he's a strength, he's a refuge. How do you find God's strength and refuge in times of trouble? We know God's word promises that he's present to do that for us. How do you personally access and find that in the midst of dark valleys and troubled times?
Well, like so many of us, I find it in this room. I find it among you. I find it in community. I think about even just in my own life and my family sitting right over here, times that Lindsay and I have lived through things, and I can think of conversations I've had with you, Tom, conversations I've had with you, Jacob, that you guys have been reflections of God's faithfulness and goodness and presence in my life, comfort to me, strength to me. And there are others in this room that have served those purposes in my life as well. But even as I was on the phone all week and calling out to people and sending texts, and it was remarkable to me how many times I would get someone on the phone to check on them, and I wasn't the first one that had called to check on them. And they would tell me who else had called to check on them. And then they would say to me, by the way, call so-and-so because I know their home is in this neighborhood or that neighborhood, and somebody needs to reach out to them as well. We've been trying to get a hold of them, but they haven't gotten back to us. And there was just this network of the family of God, of the body of Christ, reaching out to each other and caring for each other. And so that's one way, Tom, that I'm grateful for is community.
Yeah, it's for those of you that lead life groups and or just are in a life group, you know, so often I heard people saying, you know, my life group leader called, my life group member said this, like, you know, you just, it was inspiring to watch you be the church for people. Right. In fact, one woman who lost her home and we were talking with her about the benevolence funds we're going to give her, she said, well, I know so-and-so also lost her home and she's part of the church and she's a widow. Like, can I give the money to her? And I was like, well, we're also going to give her money. I mean, you can give her your money that we give to you, but also we're going to give to her as well. But you just saw the heart of God. Like, hey, God tells us that true religion is this, is to take care of the widows. Can we do something extra? It's like, if that's what God's putting on your, I mean, here's somebody, their own house had burned down. And she wasn't the only one. I had another woman who, husband and wife, their home had burned down, and I call them trying to comfort them, and they're like, let us tell you where we've seen God. And I was like, yeah, tell me. And they said, when we were leaving our neighborhood, we prayed for three homes because we have three widows that live on our block. And basically all the homes on our block burned down except for three homes. And we prayed on the way out, Lord, would you protect the homes of the widows? And then she was like, we should have prayed for our house too. You know. But what I was so struck with is here's a woman who lost her home, and she's thanking and seeing God at work for God's care for these three widows. You know, and it's amazing to watch your faith at work together, the power of Christ-centered community at work. Jacob, how about you? How do you find God's refuge and strength in times of trouble?
Since I was in third grade, I'd always have a guitar in my hand, so that's one of the most comforting places for me. But it's not just the guitar. I would sit with a guitar, and I would sing some hymns. I would sing some songs of worship like we did earlier. And the beauty of that is really this. In a season like this, sometimes it feels like I really don't know what to say, what to pray. I'm not sure I even want to pray. But when I borrow someone else's words and melody, I find it easier to agree. And I'll be okay with just that. And I'll say, great is thy faithfulness. And in my mind, I might be thinking, is that true? But as my words come out in a melody, it reminds my soul, he is. And so I find myself, I can just simply agree. And that's good enough for me. And so in my house, I'll grab a guitar or sit behind a piano and I start plunking away some songs. And the most honest picture is my boys will put their headphones on and run away to another room. But this was different. This week I was kind of doing the same. I pulled out my guitar, started singing and a bunch of different songs. And then my 11-year-old son, Evan, was sitting on the couch. He was kind of listening to me. And he says, Daddy, you need to sing Same God. Oh God, I need you. And I thought, thank you, worship pastor Evan. And so as I sang that song in my living room, I was like, oh, there it is, the cry of our hearts to say, God, these are the words we need to say this weekend as a family, as a church. Oh God, I need you. And so it's just a reminder to gather together. Don't forget to worship together. Don't forget to pray together. You know, every night, my wife and I pray with our boys. And we love the rhythm of it. Psychology tells us the rhythm is good, especially in seasons like this. But you know what? It's actually good for me, too, as a 48-year-old. And so don't forget to even just pray together. And it'll bring a sense of calm and it'll bring a sense of assurance in our God today. So.
Yeah, so good. Well, I want to pastor you for a moment. And I don't want to discourage you, but I want to be honest with you. This is going to be a long road. This isn't going to be like by next week, everything's put back together. And so I want to encourage you that you would maintain your habits, your disciplines. I know we all got knocked off our habits. I did this week. I know you probably, many of you did as well, but I want to encourage you, get back on your habits. And when I talk about habits, I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about being in God's word. I'm talking about even the habit of gathering together. I'm talking about the habit of just exercising when and where you can physically, that will help your emotional side of things as well. I'm talking about the habit of being in community. I know you might feel so overwhelmed, like, I can't be in community right now. I have 100 million new tasks to do on top of having a job or whatever else. I want to encourage you that you're going to need that. This is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. You're not going to get through it just based on gritting your teeth and willpower. You're going to need to keep connecting with God and one another, and you're going to be encouraged by that. In fact, one family I spoke with this week, they lost their home. I asked them how they were doing. And they've little kids. And the dad said, well, our girls are doing great. I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, they just keep telling us Bible verses they learned at kids' church to encourage us. And so they're walking around singing, worshiping, and telling us Bible verses. And he said, I want to tell you, thank you for kids' church. Because we can apply God's work through kids' church. Because he's like, I feel like I have like these little walking, talking Bibles that are like building my faith up, you know, and they're so kind of hopeful and optimistic. And later I had seen a post from his wife, and she was talking about her husband and just said, you know, man, it'd be so easy for him to be angry and anxious and downcast, and he's not. Like, he's choosing to take his frustration, anger to God, to his men's group, but not on his kids and not on his wife. And so it's really amazing to watch God at work as we maintain our habits before the Lord to stay connected to him. I think for me, one thing that helps me access God's strength, and partly, as you know, if you've been with us, we just launched a series last week called Dangerous Prayers. Obviously, we're pressing pause on that for this week. Next week, we hope to pick it up. But this week, I was going to be teaching on the Lord's Prayer. So next week, my plan is to teach on the Lord's Prayer. And it's just, you know, so I've been teaching on it, I've been lingering in it. And, you know, where God, Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily bread. And I've just been telling people these words just keep coming out when they feel overwhelmed. I'm like, it's one day at a time. God has designed us to live one day at a time. You don't need to know what's going to happen in 3 months or 6 months or a year. It's one day at a time. Like, do you have enough food and shelter and water right now? Yes, I do. In fact, some who didn't, we worked to help make certain that everybody that we know of who needed shelter and didn't have it, got it. Food, water, got it. So those immediate needs, we We believe everybody has those taken care of. If you don't have that taken care of, let us know and we'll try to help connect you to resources to do it. So one day at a time, daily bread. And also, we don't only live by bread, we live from every single word that comes from the mouth of God. And so as you eat physical food, be thinking about the spiritual sustenance you're going to need as you're staying connected to God. Well, we're going to pray in a moment, and then we're going to worship some more. But I wanted to leave you with one more verse from the Psalms that have been encouraging me, because it's a promise from the character of God. It's Psalm 147, 3, and this is who God is. It says, He heals the brokenhearted, and He binds up their wounds. If you're brokenhearted and you're wounded, whether it's because of a loss of a home, whether it's maybe something nothing to do with the fires, here's who God is. He's coming to heal your broken heart, and He's coming to bind up your wound. That's who His character is. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen. Like one widow I spoke to who lost her home, and she cried, and we were talking, and she said, I'm just praying that God would get the glory and build a testimony out of this somehow. And you could just see her faith rising up. You could see God even binding up her wound in that moment and beginning to heal her broken heart as she moved from lament to faithful hope, from Jesus wept to Jesus resurrects. So I want to leave you with that word, that He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Matt, would you lead us in a time of prayer?
Sure. Yeah, well, Lord, You are home, Lord. You are the God who is with us. You're the God who heals us. You're the God who sees us. You're the God who will shepherd us through every darkest valley. And so, Lord, we find our footing once again in You. We rest our faith once again on You, Lord. We pray, God. We pray not shy, but boldly before Your throne of grace. Not wondering, can You, but asking You, Lord, to stop the fires, to aid the firefighters. Lord, would You change the winds? God, would You do what needs to be done to bring this to an end and bring peace, Lord? We speak peace in Jesus' name over Los Angeles, over Southern California. And God, we speak peace over those families who are not yet back to their homes or have no home to go back to. Lord, we speak Your peace in Jesus' name to their family. Because, Lord, You are also the God who sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Even as we face trials, even as we face enemies, God, we know there's already a banquet that's planned, that's set. The victory feast is already, it's ready to go, because we know, God, that You will have the victory. We know that there will be glory out of these stories, Lord. There will be testimonies of how good You are, how faithful You are, how patient You are, how near You are, how real You are. And so we lean into You, resting in You, strengthened in You. God, I pray that You bind us together as a church family, that You compel us and remind us to call out to one another, to check on one another. Make our life groups full of Your life, full of Your joy, full of Your spirit, Lord. as we share this together, as we link arms, Lord, and we walk together. And may that be true of us in every season of trial, in every darkest valley, God, that you have placed us among a church family. May we be strengthened by that. God, I pray for every time we turn to you and pray every time we open your word, Lord, would you be evidently the God who is with us, reminders of your spirit. We trust you for that. In Jesus' name. And together we say, amen.